He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I want to spend a little bit more time on this game after we've already fully moved on to Denver. But in this one, I thought Gabe's play in this game especially, like, I've been kind of annoyed with the whole, man, Gabe is playing good defense. Look at him go, you know. And while he's made, you know, I think two or three more threes than the three of us combined, right, on the season. And in this one, though, like, he made two threes in this one, shot both of them very confidently, even took a heat check, which I'm not going to lie.
You do you, Gabe.
I laughed out loud at the heat check. Like, this guy has made two threes all season, and he's firing up heat checks because he doubled it in this game. But I think Gabe is probably going to be a pretty important figure in this series. What he can do to Jamal Murray. He is bigger, like bulkier than Schroeder is. I know Schroeder competes in all of those things. And also, like, if he does shoot even decently from three-point range, teams just react differently to him being open than they do to Dennis Schroeder being open because of their shot form. Sabrina, what do you think about, like, is this – we're looking for any excuse whatsoever to believe in Gabe Vincent, because I think there is something, honestly, to believe in. But, like, is this – we talked about this with D'Angelo Russell. We're expanding a single play to hopefully – or two plays down the stretch to hopefully launch D'Lo into having confidence in this series. Gabe, I think, has to overcome almost as much, you know, not as much going up against the single that same matchup, but an entire season of not being useful to his team. Now he's trying like hell to be useful again. I really like what we saw from Gabe in this game.
I mean, we picked up Gabe Vincent because of that ridiculous playoff run last year for Miami, right? Like, he was the pull-up three threat, really good defensive guard. I mean, I don't know how I stumbled on this role as Dennis Schroeder apologist, but I thought he was actually really good defensively against Jamal Murray. It was just he was tanking our offense because he couldn't shoot. And that's what Gabe is supposed to solve, right? He can be as disruptive at the point of attack, but then also credibly knock down a three-pointer. And yeah, I mean, it hasn't happened that much yet, but he is not going to be phased by the playoffs, I don't think. You know, he shot 38% on threes last year with Miami. They made it all the way to the finals. He was a big part of that. Like, I mean, he wasn't Caleb Martin, but he was a big part of what Miami was doing. And I just think, you know, with the Lakers, like, you know, all of these things that didn't work last year, you have to try something different. And so I'm glad that they have that extra tool off of the bench, because, I mean, I'm going to just be terribly disappointed if we go down the same way we went down in all of those regular season games. Like, there has to be a different approach at some point. And yeah, maybe that means going to Gabe a little bit earlier than you might expect, but, like, I'm all for it because the other things have not worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually they do tend to break down. And the thing that I like about Gabe, he'll take, as we saw it, he took the heat check tonight or whatever, but he doesn't hurt you in the, like, his floor, because he plays defense, his floor is so much higher than even like D'Angelo Russell's, right? Where D'Lo's floor, because he doesn't play defense, is about as low as almost any legitimately really good NBA player that I've ever seen, right? I am acknowledging he's really, really good, but I'm also pointing out his floor is like 34 floors down. And with Gabe having somebody, and I do think, like, I agree. I thought Schroeder competed and played well defensively, but he hurted their offense so much that it was like playing, you know, 4-on-5 there down the stretch. And I don't think it would necessarily be that with Gabe in the same way, because I don't think he hurts you as much offensively. And I think he plays just as well defensively, Raj, what's your expectation for Gabe in this series?
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make, because you just went through how you were kind of upset at people, you know, pointing at Gabe. And look, he's defending even though he's not scoring, right? Like, and you were pointing out that you have to be so good defensively, kind of make up for that. I mean, I feel the same way, but the opposite end, right? Like when D'Lo's not scoring, how good you have to be offensively to be a zero on defense. And like, let's be real, this is the reason you got Gabe Vincent, not for to play the Denver Nuggets, because we'll see how he plays against them.
Actually, kind of.
Although he had a really good game too. Hashtag people forget Gabe Vincent was a big part of Miami winning game too. And you talked about the blood from that movie. Like, he kind of showed some blood on the Denver Nuggets in game two.
And then they lost three consecutive games.
Yeah. Yes. That was other reason. He was kind of Miami's, like, he was kind of Miami's Austin Reeves. Like, if you go, like, I went back and rewatched all of, like, Gabe Vincent's fourth quarters again with Miami. He was kind of their on-ball guard that they went to in the fourth quarter when Jimmy Butler and Bam were kind of used as more decoys. But in any case, like, to me, he's here to be a D'Angelo Russell insurance. And like, if he, like, our bar is so low for our guards. Like, it's really just Gabe Vincent that can hit open threes changes the, like, ceiling of our team immensely. Like, just a guard that hits threes and plays on the other end, right? We're looking for two-way players, especially against Denver, that is going to have threats at all points of the floor. Jamal Murray is going to play 38 minutes a game or whatever he's going to play. Like, you need a guy that can stay with him, fight over screens, give back pressure. Like, I love D'Lo's end of the fourth quarter tonight, him getting put in jail by Jose Alvarado, who doesn't have a mid-range jump shot or, like, should not be able to attack you in any, like, a straight line drive was a little bit concerning to me, considering who we're playing next. But that's why you get a Gabe Vincent. Dinwiddie didn't play in the second half tonight, but he's another defensive option that at least Arvinham believes is a defensive option. Cam Reddish looks like he's not going to be able to go. So those are the guys I'm sure we're going to throw on these guards. But, yeah, I'm like, excited to see Gabe Vincent, what he can do. He has a little bit of a ramp here with 4 days off. And you talked about, like Torian Prince is a guy who will shot chuck. Gabe Vincent at least gets a shot out of the flow of the offense, right? And, like, he's not just a chucker to me. Like, he hit one floater tonight. I think it was his first floater of the season. But those are the shots.
Doesn't count. But
those are the shots he lived off of with Miami. The game winner against the Knicks in game two, I believe, last year was, like, him attacking the basket, getting a runner. I forgot who was defending. Like, those are the shots he gets to. He's a three-level guard scorer that was the potential with him. I think he's been hurt too much to get to that, but... Yeah, I think he's going to be a big part of the next series. We need somebody to chase Jamal Murray around. And, like, that's just tough if that's Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell for 38 minutes a game. Like, Jamal Murray's going to get to his spot. And we'll see if Gabe Vincent can kind of change that.
All right, let's I have some super comments in here really quickly before we get everybody out of here and let everybody kind of start doing their prep for this series. That, man, it's going to be a long few days between now and Saturday. Those are going to be like...
Are you not excited for the East play-in tomorrow?
Excruciating games. Honestly, I said this on Twitter earlier today, because it's award season also. I think they need to split the awards up to West and East. The East is so bad that, like, I don't think Jason Tatum should be up for the same awards that, like, Luka and Shea.
How many MVPs would Jason Tatum have if it was just an Eastern Conference award?
I'd be fine with it. I don't care.
Sorry. Yeah.
It'd be funny if it was like the Western Conference trophy was even nicer too. it was like, but like the East is like, it'd be one thing if it was like, if it was somewhat even, but we're going on like 30 years, like my entire adult life, maybe some of my childhood life too. Like the West has been so much better than the East for a really, really, really long time. And it doesn't look like it's changing anytime soon. And yeah, like anyway, that's a whole different detour. So let's get to the super comments. First of which means I get to play this. Justin Tindall writes, up 18 halfway through the third, win by four, zero confidence for the Nuggets. Bron and AD 12 for 36 shooting, need to play lights out just to have a chance. Yeah, you can't have games like this. Like, you get games like this against the Nuggets, and the Nuggets are winning by like 40. Like, it's just you need your stars to shine in this playoff setting. But again, given that the Lakers would have had basically a redo after this, right? Another chance to get into the playoffs. After this game, that is when you want LeBron and AD to get that type of game out of their system, right? And the fact that the Lakers were able to win despite them playing that way for as long as they did, even in the fourth quarter, LeBron basically was turned into a version of what we saw in the playoffs last year, where he just started chucking from deep all the time, and he started matchup hunting, and it took him out of the rhythm. I actually thought that the Lakers offense looked a lot better when D'Lo and Austin were more heavily involved than LeBron down the stretch. But the holding leads thing is kind of annoying at this point. Like, is there anything, Sabrina, you think that the Lakers could do? Like, they've done this thing recently where they sub out LeBron in the last like minute or two or three at the end of the third quarter. And they also tend to sub out Reeves when they do that. This time they had D'Lo, Rui, and AD out there together, which should have helped. Unfortunately, AD was playing so poorly that it didn't. Is there anything that you can think of the Lakers could maybe do differently to, if you get an 18-point lead on the Denver Nuggets, you would like to be able to hold on to it a little bit better than the Lakers have basically all season?
I mean, I would like to stagger LeBron and Austin as much as possible. I think you need one of them on the court at all times. But I mean, as far as like holding leads, I kind of just credit New Orleans. Like, they played pretty well. You know, Trey Murphy is hitting shots from 40 feet out. Like, they're a good team. They, you know, attacked a lot of the Lakers' deficiencies, you know, like with Alvarado's ball pressure, with Herb Jones's length, with the fact that Murphy spreads the floor so that it opens up those driving lanes. Like, I just thought they played really well. I know like the Lakers probably could have, you know, put their foot on the gas a little bit more there, but LeBron's got to sit at some point, right? So yeah. I think you just kind of hold your breath during those situations. And when AD is playing better, then, you know, you can weather that storm a little bit better.
I think they need to rely on their sets more, right? Like, they go so far away from running organized offense, then I think it really, really hurts them because they don't have the principles in place to freelance.
Yeah, I think when LeBron went to the bench, it was D'Lo, Rui, and AD out there. That should be enough offense to kind of get you through those. I think AD was just really struggling at the rim, and you just talked about Alvarado's ball pressure was kind of getting to Russell. But they want to beat Denver. Those units have to at least play somewhat even, right? Like, those are the units I'm sure Jokic is going to sit. Like, D'Lo, Rui, and AD need to be able to create good offense. And, yeah, get through your sets. D'Lo off of pick and rolls. Like, they need to be able to create offense during those units. Yeah, LeBron has to sit. I think he actually extended LeBron's minutes tonight. I thought LeBron was just gassed, honestly, in the fourth quarter.
He looked exhausted.
Yeah. Like, these games are going to be, like, rock fights. Like, at least they should be. Like, and every single game has been, right? Every game has gone down the stretch pretty much. And, like, you're just not going to keep – Denver's too good to, like, just hold an 18-point lead and cruise through games, in my opinion. This is going to be a tough – like, every single game is going to be an absolute war. There's going to be some nights to me – like, Anthony said, you can't have those shooting nights. Like, there's going to be games to me LeBron's going to have to shoot – 35 times, and even if he shoots like 14 for 35, like, that's the option there. I just think, like, these are going to be games where your stars have to pull it through, so we'll see how they do against Denver.
Just quick question, do you think the Lakers will actually be up 18 at any point in this series?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know what, I think it's possible. I think it's possible because they actually held like I forget which game it was. It might have been, it was one of three or game four, three. I think. They held like a 15, I think, point lead at one point in that game, yep. If not more. And, you know, Denver just, they, that's the thing about a team as disciplined and as a team that actually relies on its continuity in the way that Denver does, is that they can stay patient. They'll just chip and chisel away, and eventually that 18-point lead becomes 14, and then it becomes 10, and then it becomes, you know, and it's also kind of the way that the league is now, right? With 3-point shooting, is a 20-point lead is basically a 12-point lead from back in the day. And then again, like, I think that the Lakers have, and this has been the case all season, right? Like, I had, this wasn't a written report, but I tweeted out earlier this year that I was talking to a scout who was just got done prepping for the Lakers. And he said, he was like, yeah, you know, they run good stuff. They have like fun weapons and they have all these things that they can do. They also just kind of wander away from it. Like, you kind of know that if you just let them, they will go away from that stuff that is working. Not to say that stuff was actually working as much for the Lakers tonight. It was a low scoring game, 110 to 106 by Lakers standards. That's a game in the 80s. It's an interesting, concept. The idea of like holding a lead or what the Lakers can figure out to better hold, whether it's an 18 point lead or whatever lead it is, they are going to have to hold the Nuggets off at some point. I don't know how they're going to do it though. We got another one here, which means, oh no, that isn't the one. Brandon Oeming.
Great question.
Gabriel Dinwiddie, do you think they aren't getting Vando back? Nobody I've spoken to is particularly optimistic about Vando this early in the playoffs. It's kind of a bummer, but
he'll be there for round two. That's what it is. We'll get him in round two.
Gonna need him against, you know, one of Booker or Anthony Edwards, right?
Right. Yeah. He's not really needed in this series. So
Gabriel Dinwiddie, do you think the Lakers at some point in the series are going to have to make a choice between those two guys?
I don't think so. I think both of them are kind of specialists right now. So I'm sure it's going to be Gabe first, but I like what both of them bring. I think Dinwiddie at least gives you a little bit more size out there. So kind of let results be your guide. You know what I mean? Like let success be your guide on that. If Gabe or Dinwiddie are playing well on Jamal Murray, that you can kind of keep them on there. Also, you just can't have one guy like Jamal Murray's too good to just keep one guy on him for the full game. You're going to need to switch up your coverages and all that stuff on him as well. So I don't think you have to make a choice. I also think D'Lo's going to be cold. Like I think if we're all going to bet at some point, D'Lo's going to have a cold game in this Denver. Hopefully it's not all the games, but like I'm sure D'Lo's going to have a cold game during this series, and you're going to need both of those guys to play and play big minutes. So no, I don't think you have to make a decision, at least this early before the series.
I hope it's just a cold game and not a cold series. Like it's not, like the way he finished that one. You know, I'm not going to say who I was texting about, but like when D'Lo was playing really poorly in the previous game to this one, I was texting like, oh, he's trying to avoid the playoffs because it's his best chance at keeping his contract status. Is if the Lakers don't actually get to the playoffs. But all right, the next one that we have here is from Little Chris Johnson. Fuck Washington! I hope Ham keeps three of Braun, AD, Rui, or Hayes on the court at all times against Denver. And Ham is concerning me with all these three-guard lineups. They are going to go three guards at some point. My question actually building off of this one, Sabrina, is how much do you trust Jackson Hayes in this matchup? Do you at all trust Jackson? Because it got to the point here getting ready for this one that I had people asking me and emailing me, should the Lakers go out and get Dwight just for this, like wave hood and get Dwight just for this series? I don't think it's reached that point.
There are,
but they are
so many things wrong with that statement. You do not waive your first round pick for the chance to sign a 38-year-old.
No, Wood. Wood.
Oh, I thought you said hood, not Wood. Okay.
Well, either. Whatever.
Okay. No.
That is a significantly more reasonable prospect then. Okay. I think Jackson Hayes is fine in small doses. He doesn't have to worry about foul trouble, right? He just plays all energy as much as possible, vertical threat, runs the floor really hard. I think he's getting like a little bit better, you know, in these defensive situations. I kind of like pairing him and LeBron in the non-Jokic minutes. I think that's probably LA's best case, right? Even though like it would be nice to let Anthony Davis play against not Nikola Jokic, I just don't think we have that option. He's just going to have to suck it up for as long as Nikola's on the court. So I think if you put, Braun and Hayes in like the Aaron Gordon at the 5 minutes, that's a matchup that I think actually kind of works for the Lakers.
Yeah, I just need some sensitivity on the Jackson Hayes minutes. Like you just spoke about how Denver goes with Aaron Gordon at the five, and that's where they really space you, right? That's kind of where they really run the floor, and they run a lot of, like, Denver probably uses its cuts and its screens and its back screens more than any other team. And I think Jackson Hayes is fine on just like typical drop or where his help is. Denver kind of puts you in all these type of places where you're guarding it. Like Denver knows what your goal is to have Aaron Gordon shoot the ball, right? And they leverage that better than any other team in terms of having a non-shooter. And I just worry about, like, Jackson Hayes has been really good in terms of our regular season floor raising with him. But yeah, I think this is a series though. You can play LeBron and Rui kind of at the five a little bit more, just in terms of there's no DeAndre Jordan doesn't play. So there's no real backup big for them. It's just Aaron Gordon. And yeah, AD, LeBron, Rui are going to, Jokic is going to play is like 40 minutes a game. So this is a pretty small stretch anyway. I think you have to be really sensitive with the Jackson Hayes minutes. I don't trust him on these, all these off ball actions where Denver makes you like make really quick, decisive decisions. That's where he gets in trouble and fouls and is unable to go straight up in the air. So I'd be really sensitive with it, but I mean, I'm sure he'll get his few, he'll get his like chance.
He'll get like at eight. It. I think that's what.
Yeah. Yeah, like 8 minutes a game. Yeah.
He had a stretch tonight where LeBron was trying to like matchup hunt and Hayes kept on like, do I set a screen? Do I cut? Do I float over here? Do I go over here? And it was just like, it looked like, you know, when you would give the controller to your like little sibling. I don't know if you guys have younger siblings. But when I would play,
sibling that this would happen with.
Okay. So you would give the controller and you would just like, you would never pass that person the ball when you were playing on, for me back then it was NBA Live. It was pre 2K years. And I'm that old. But you would play NBA Live and you would hand the controller over I'd give it to Andrew and I would say, just go like stand over there. And his like guy that he'd be controlling is just running all over the court aimlessly. And that's basically what we saw from Jackson Hayes. And it's good when he's getting rebounds and he's getting putbacks and he's playing out of his mind, but it can be kind of detrimental as it was there when LeBron's like, just sit still. I'm trying to attack this guy. And poor Rome was going to lose his mind watching that tonight. We have a couple more here. No biggie here on the next. Stop watching! Not a difficult subject to knock down. How do the Lakers stop Murray? if we could answer this, I would hope that we'd all be making a lot more money than we currently make. I would hope we'd all afford rent in LA, right? If we could actually help the Lakers stop Murray. You know what the biggest thing is here, and I know it pissed off every Lakers fan watching this, not just in the series after the Nuggets beat the Lakers as they go and they play Miami and immediately cool off, but basically anytime I watch the Nuggets play anybody but the Lakers, those stupid shots that the Nuggets make against the Lakers just stop going in. Murray was unconscious in that series against the Lakers. Down the stretch, he was taking step back threes off of the dribble, behind the back, between the leg, all of these things. And it was like barely even moving the net, you know, if you're looking for, again, another variable here, maybe the way that you stop Murray is that like, you hope that there's some regression with his shooting against the Lakers. Beyond that, man, he's not just a great player, but he's an incredible playoff performer. And there's just not much you can do when guys elevate their game in the way that he does every year. But do you guys have any bright ideas?
I have his like conference final stats bookmarked. Cause like, it's just insane to watch. He averaged 32 and a half points, 6 rebounds and 5 assists in those 4 games. Like, I just can't imagine he's going to play. Like, this is not a good way to go into the series and think like Jamal Murray can't reach that level, because he absolutely can. That dude left Earth for 4 games. Like, some of those shots were just absolutely absurd. And I think, Sabrina, you mentioned Dennis Schroeder actually did an okay job chasing over. A lot of those shots, he really can't change much. And he's another guy where he takes a lot of just tough contested twos or tough step back threes where you can't take away everything, right? Like, if you're going to take away Jokic on the roll, if you're going to take away kind of Michael Porter Jr. coming off a screen, it's just really tough to also like take away Jamal Murray at the rim. And if you send two at Jamal Murray, you're kind of done, because then Denver has you in their offensive rotation. But I think we have like the best chance that you could. You have enough you have defensive guards coming off the bench that you can hope that stay in front and you just put a hand up. But no, that dude was insane last year. I still don't think he's made an all-star team, which is crazy. But yeah, I think they're going to start with Austin on him, obviously, and see how that works. And if that doesn't, bring in Gabe Vincent off the bench and bring in Dinwiddie and maybe LeBron, like it's 2020, throw LeBron on Jamal Murray and and put AD on Jokic. But I think that's going to be that's the case. Some of those shots you can't do much with and have to hope he misses. But 32 and a half a game, like that's superstar, like top six level guard production to go along with. He wasn't even the best player in that series. It was Jokic. I don't have Jokic stats bookmarked because they don't bother me as much. But Jamal Murray's stats, like those are just absolutely insane numbers.
I mean, the Lakers need him to not be the second best player in the series.
Yes.
Like, if he's the second best player in the series again, the Lakers will have lost quickly.
Also, I mean, Jokic is not the best player, I suppose.
Oh, no. He's definitely going to be the best player. But Raj, come on.
So I guess the pathway is Jokic is definitely the best player, but then LeBron and AD are 2 and 3 in some order. Yeah.
I think okay. So. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most realistic best path sure. that the Lakers have here. I would love to be able to say that like Anthony Davis is going to play out of his mind, but like Jokic is European. All right.
Also assumed to be 3-time MVP.
That too. Stop watching! We got one more here. Jason Kelly writes, if the Lakers and Nuggets played each other in a 7-game series 100 times, so you have them playing 700 games. I'm not sure the Lakers win 5 of those 700 games, or wow. I guess 5 of those series. So 5 series of the 100 series that the Lakers would play against each other, Lakers and Nuggets would play against each other. Don't think AD and the LBJ cord can beat Jokic. I mean, it's more that, like, Raj mentioned it, right? Like, Aaron Gordon scored 30 in a game, and you know, D'Angelo Russell was terrible. And like Jokic also is a very special player. I think one thing to really watch in this series in that matchup between AD and Jokic is AD getting back on defense. Cause that's somewhere that's a place that Jokic really feasts on AD on that Jokic was actually kind of the person who got that secret out across the NBA was like, hey, AD likes to contest dumb offensive rebounds. And when he does that, I'm going to get on my horse and I'm going to try to like hustle down there and get deep position on somebody else other than AD. The horse wasn't a pun, but I realized now that
it worked out well. I enjoyed that.
that's going to be a small little wrinkle here in that matchup. But beyond that, like Jokic is he's I don't think he should win MVP this year. I think it should be Shea for getting the number one seed in the West. He's right there. It wouldn't shock me nor like really disappoint me if Jokic got MVP, and that would be 3 and 4 years for him. Mm-hmm. Won the championship last year. He's a special, special, special player. And you have a near 40-year-old LeBron, and you have an Anthony Davis who does like tend to struggle against players like Jokic. And it does make it tough for that matchup there. And, you know, it's why when the Pelicans made their comeback today, I, you know, it crossed the mind here and there.
Yeah, I thought I would feel that way, that it would be a low stress situation as the Pelicans were making the comeback, and that I would feel like, okay, like this is a win-win, right? Either the Lakers make it to the playoffs or they don't face the Nuggets. And yet I was just in it. Like I wanted D'Lo to hit that shot so bad. I was so upset every time they didn't score. I mean, it's really hard to root against them. I can't do the tanking thing at this point.
We're in trouble after LeBron. like we're going to have to like stretch those tanking muscles again. And I don't know if I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
All right. That I think is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you everybody for tuning in. As we are talking right now, 1,500 people are watching live right now, which just always blows me away. If you are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge, where you can subscribe to the show. If you're watching on YouTube, please just scroll down a little bit and hit that subscribe button. Also the like button while we're here. It's special to have Sabrina and Raj on here. The old I Love Basketball crew was an absolute delight to participate in here. Sabrina, thank you for popping on. Raj, thank you very much for sitting in here as usual. Get ready for more conversations as the Lakers are now officially a playoff team. Raj and I do this after these playoff games. We talk this out. We vent if we have to vent. There's probably going to be a lot more venting earlier in the playoffs than there was last year. But regardless of how this all goes, we are in for this ride together. And look, I am somebody who has had a complicated relationship with this Lakers team this season, but I'm happy that they're a playoff team. I'm happy that LeBron gets a chance to make up for how last year ended and hopefully go on a bit of a run here. It's going to be fun. It's going to be stressful. And I need a lot more wine for the next 4 to 7 games. Like I'm not ready. I'm not ready at all. So until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Chapalu and Sabrina Merchant. Also follow Sabrina's stuff at The Athletic, where the WNBA draft just happened. And I was hoping somebody would snarkily like break that Caitlin Clark went first overall. Like that would have been kind of fun. I didn't see that. Sabrina, do you have any thoughts on how the draft went? Who'd the Sparks get?
Sparks got Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson, which made me so excited that I literally double fist pumped when Rekia Jackson was announced as the 4th pick. I am thrilled by these selections. I think the Sparks have awesome players going forward and are going to be just bad enough this year that they're still going to be in the running to get Paige Beggers in the next draft. So I am stoked.
Sweet spot.
Yeah.
who are the players?
Oh, sorry. Cameron Brink, National Defensive Player of the Year out of Stanford. She's a West Coast girl. She's going to fit right in. Rekia Jackson is a power forward wing type from Tennessee. Just pure bucket getter. Gonna love her.
Yes. I like it. I like what I heard from both of those things. I saw somebody joking that with Brink, she could move AD over to the power forward. and help with
Brink has a lot of Anthony Davis in her game. It's pretty cool. Nice. Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I mean, look, I know that like coming off of the tournament that there was a push for I always blank on her name.
Angel
from
Reese.
LSU. Angel Reese. There was like I saw that there was kind of like a cult push to try to see if the Sparks could maybe get her. Didn't happen.
We had 2 chances and chose not to. So I think we know how the Sparks feel.
what would your like? I know you were pumped about Jackson, right? But had they taken Reese, would you have been disappointed by the pick?
I would have been significantly less pumped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. I feel good.
This is exactly how I wanted the draft to go.
Well, again, follow Sabrina's content and coverage of women's basketball across the board at The Athletic. Raj, when he gets off of here and after the Kings and the Warriors game, I'm guessing you're doing Lakers detailed. Is that what the plan is there?
So we'll be on post game after the Kings Warriors.
Check out Raj and Vinay. No. I don't know where that came from. check out their content there as well. I think the plan right now also is for Raj and I to do the Coach's Den with our boy Rome to watch what is left of this Warriors Kings game as well. I'm going to head back out to my patio for that one. So until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. Again, Raj and Sabrina, thank you guys a ton for hopping on. Have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.